So we're doing the new Mishnah, new Sugya, Amid Beis Amid Aleph. And it's the Sugya of Shehiya. So the Mishnah says, it's the top Mishnah on Amid Beis Amid Aleph. Naflo Sakin V'Higbiya. So if you drop, or if the Sakin falls, you're in the middle of doing Shechita, you start it, then the Sakin falls, drops, and you pick it up. Okay, and you continue the Shechita. Or, Naflu Kelav V'Higbiyan, or let's say your shirt, or your clothing fall, and while you're in the middle of Shechita, you stop, you pause, pick them up. Or, Hishchiz Es HaSakin, you sharpen the knife. And there's different ways to learn this, but one way to learn this is like Rashi, is before the Shechita, you're sharpening the knife, and you get very tired. And when you start doing the Shechita, you get so tired you can't finish the Shechita. So Ubach Ava'af, it means that you get tired. Ubach Averu V'Shachat, and then your friend comes and he finishes it. Right? So the sharpening, it tires you out. So you think you're going to make it, but then you can't make it, you can't finish it. Right? Your hand is tired. Okay, that's one way to learn it. Another way to show them to learn it, Shishchasag means you sharpen it in the middle. Or if you get tired in the middle, whatever. So all these cases, basically where you're pausing in the middle. So, Im Shaha Kedei Shechita Pesula. If you wait for the amount of time that it takes to do Shechita, then it's Pesula. Okay? If not, then it's Kasher. Rabbi Shimon Omer Im Shaha Kedei Bikor. No, it's not the time of waiting of soul. It's not the amount of time it takes to do shechita, but the amount of time it takes to check the knife, and make sure that it doesn't have a nick on it. Okay, the machlokas is about what the shear is. Okay, so we'll get to the machlokas later. But for now, we'll just go with the Tanakama's shear. Okay, namely the shear kedei shechita. Most of the Gemara's discussion is about that. We hold that way. So we'll deal with the Bikur later. But for now, basically the Mishnah is saying, if we ignore the Machlokas, the Mishnah is saying that if you have a Shehiyah, the amount of time of Kedei Shechita, and the time that a Shechita takes, and that's called Shehiyah, it's possible. Okay, Shmuz is asking, why did Nigmar ask? Well, do you need all these cases? They're all the same? Alright. So, on the Masifta Shas, they quote the Rosh. The Rosh. Kalim.
Not the Rosh.
Mishans, no, the Rosh. And Mesechas Kalim. Okay, Mesechas Kalim, the Mishnayis. Okay. Perakei, Mishnah Dalet. Okay. The Rosh. Who basically says that, like, sometimes Gemara's, Mishnah's, Mishnayas give a few examples of the same thing and not necessarily teach you Chiddush each time. Just to give examples. And he cites our thing, our Mishnah, as an example of that.
Does he have any more examples?
No, but he says it happens a lot. He says, maybe the party says, Maisi Allah, I'm saying, Vichihai. All these cases that it teaches, I'm skipping a few words because it's about the particulars of the case. It's just trying to explain to you examples of what lo ladas means, whatever lo ladas in that case. It says you have this many times. Right. And he says, if not, whatever. Sometimes you do that, you get, sometimes you're not. But he's saying, sometimes it's style of Mishnah to teach you a few cases, even though there's no new Chiddush in each of them, it's the same thing. So, means you can't just go on your own and start being Medayik, whatever. I think there's an Achron who tries to explain it. It's on Tosefta and Masifta, but I don't know, I forget who it was. Yeah, okay, so basically, it's right, interesting. It's a good find, but, right. You know, if you're holding in Kalim and the Rosh and Mesechas Kalim, Perak Dalet, Perak Hamish and the Dalet. So you'd know this. But, you know, Otherwise, you have the Masifta. Okay, so
that makes sense since the Gemara doesn't say anything.
Yeah, right. Gemara doesn't. True. Okay, so the punchline is we just did the Mishnah. It's if you do Shehiya, Lam Bezim Ralph, the first Mishnah. If you do Shehiya, the amount of time of Shehiya is Kadesh Shechita. Amount of time it takes to do Shechita. And if for whatever reason you stop, your knife falls, your kalim fall, you get tired, you stop in the middle, it's Kadesh Shechita. That's the amount of time that apostles it, and if not, then it's okay. And Rabbi Shimon holds, no, it's not the time of Shechita, but it's the time it takes to shart, to check the knife that it didn't have a nick on it. Okay? Which we'll get to Rabbi Shimon later. But the simple pshat, which we'll go with for now, is the time of Shehiya is the time of Shechita. Time it takes to do Shechita. So now it says like this, my Kadesh Shechita. So the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean, Kadesh Shechita? Okay? Again, the shear of Shehiya, of waiting, is Kadesh Shechita. What does that mean? Amarav Kadesh Shechitas Behema Acheras. Okay, what does that mean, Rashi? Amar kadei shchita behem acheres. Of a lo tema kadei shiigmar shchita so besula. Okay, what does he mean? What does he mean?
You're not complaining of maisa, but a full shchita.
Right. So let's say you did. Let's say shchita takes 10 seconds. Okay, that's an exaggeration, I think, but let's say that's what it takes. It takes 10 seconds of shchita. So let's say you did half of shchita, half of the shchita. And then you pause. So you did 5 seconds of Shechita, then you pause. So now you pause. Now how long is Shehiya? So Kadesh Shechita. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean the Havamina is, well, there are 5 seconds left to your Shechita? Right? So it's another 5 seconds? Okay. Maybe a better case is you did 6 seconds. Okay, you did 6 seconds and there's 4 seconds left. Now you do is that do a Shehiya. So how long is a Shehiya? So the Havamina would be 4 seconds. That's how long you have left. And if you pause for 4 seconds, then that's a Shehiya. Because Kadei Shechita means the amount of time it takes to finish the Shechita. So it comes along, Rav said, no, it doesn't mean that. It means 10 seconds. Since Shechita takes 10 seconds from beginning to end, that's the Shehiya Shehiya. It doesn't matter whether you're on the way you're up to in the Shechita. It's not saying like Kadei Ligmaris Kulo. Sometimes you have that kind of a shear. It's not saying it's how long it will take you to finish this particular Shechita, but it means the shear Shehiya is the amount of time it takes to do Shechita from beginning to end. So what I'd like to do is to define the Haminos Kana. Let me ask you a question, for starters. Maybe even before this. I mean, everyone, whichever way you learn, the shear of Shehiya is Kadei Shechita. It's a question of what exactly Kadei Shechita means, right? But can we explain the sense of that? Like, why is that the shear? Why isn't the shear an hour, a minute, 5 seconds, amount of time it takes to roast an egg, I don't know, something like that. Like, what's the sense of the shear? Is it just an arbitrary thing, or is it, can we say anything about it? Like, you could say, look, it's a shear, and that's a shear, and that's a shear, and whatever, we can't answer. Now let's ask that kind of question. But could we at least give some sense to it? So I think just on a simple level. Simple level is that obviously, or it seems to be a given, that if you have a 1 second pause or a half millisecond pause in the middle of your shechita, that's not possible. That's a given. Okay? Can't be that you have to continuously cough and that's how it's possible. I mean, it has to be it's not saying shechita has to be mamish 100% continuous. Okay? So apparently, but a significant pause is a psal. Right, so there's an idea of a pause, and then there's a significant pause. Shehiya has to be a significant pause. Now, what does that mean, significant? So you have to pick an amount of time, which is a significant amount of time. Now, there's no halacha of 4 seconds. Okay, there's no halacha like that. There's no zman like that. So the way we define significance is in the framework of shechita. What's a significant amount of time vis-a-vis shechita? So it's the time that it takes to do shechita. Because once it's that amount of a pause, so then you say, well, that's the same amount of time. If it's a little, what do you can say about time it takes to roast an egg? What is roasting an egg? What do you do with this? So in the framework of Shechita, the same amount of time is Kadesh Shechita. It has to pick a fixed amount of time. So in the framework of Shechita, that's the appropriate zman. That's like a unit of a significant amount of time. Takes the Shechita. You say it's not long. Well, that's how long it takes to Shechita. So that gives you like an way to objectify a measure of time, as opposed to arbitrarily picking some other time. It's the most appropriate way to pick an amount of time, which you'll say is significant. That's the time of Shechita, right? Now, that doesn't really help us yet. We have to define the Amin Askana, because they're both in the framework of Shlita. I'm just saying, it's like, I think before you get into Amin Askana, they're just a good step. I don't know what Shiha is, why Shiha is, how Shiha is. I just know one thing. You could have viewed it two ways. You could have said Shiha means an infinitesimally small amount of time is called Shiha. That seems to be a given that that's not the case. A half split second, that's not Shiha. I don't know if that would have been possible halachically. I don't know if there's a way to even do such a thing. But whatever, that's not the given. So therefore, the halachas we convey a shear, an amount of time, which is considered a significant, not just any break, it has to be significant. So what I'm saying is that it would seem to be the most sensible thing to define what's your measuring rod of significance. So since the framework is shlita, the way that you're koveya what's a significant amount of time is the time it takes to do shlita. That's an appropriate way to make an amount of time which you'll say is significant. Can't say, oh, that's not significant. Well, that's how long it takes to shlita. Of course that's significant. And in this world, that's significant. So what's defined as significant depends what you're doing. If you're doing an activity which is super speedy, then a second could be a significant amount of time. If you're doing an activity which takes days, then a little break of 4 seconds isn't significant. Right? Like, let's say you step out, you go to the bathroom. Take a break in the middle of activity, step out of the bathroom. Is that a significant break? So it depends. If it's a baseball game and it's a 3-hour activity and you go to the bathroom, no, that's not significant. If you're doing some activity which is a 1-minute activity, like you're watching a commercial, a 30-second commercial, you'll say, you know what, let me just take a break in the middle. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to come back in a minute. When you come back in a minute, that's more than an activity. That's significant. So like the way you measure what amount of time, significance of time is relative to what you're involved in. You can't ever say this amount of time is insignificant. It depends. If you're doing some experiment of the speed of light, I mean, a second is eternity. So it's all dependent relative to the framework you're in. So since you're talking about Shehiyah and a pause in Shlita, so an appropriate amount of time to fix as what's a significant amount of time is the time of Shlita. It's not, I mean, there's a certain arbitrariness to it. You have to pick a time, but the time which is a reasonable time to pick, which is the time which is relevant in this framework. Now, what's the point of Shehiyah, and what's the mechanism which postles it, and whatever, and that we're not going into yet. I'm just saying is, it's not just a totally arbitrary thing. There's a sense to saying this is the Zman. Now, maybe now we have to get into whether it should be the amount of time you have left in your Shlita, or the amount of time Shlita takes. Either way, they're both relevant to Shlita, though. It's not just saying both sides are still in the framework of Shlita. I'm thinking along the path that Mark's going on here. That, like this, there's two ways to look at the idea of the psal. Okay, I'm going to start with maskana, because I think it's easier. I like the idea better, it's smoother, I think, but whatever. So the maskana is, I think, kind of like we were saying, is that you can't have a half sec, you can't have a pause in the shkita. What's defined as a pause, a break, an intermission? Well, the amount of time which is defined as a pause is the shir shkita. If shchita takes 10 seconds, then 10 seconds is defined as a pause. Anything less than that is an insignificant amount of time. And since it's an insignificant amount of time, that's not defined as a pause. That's just part of the shchita, whatever. You're breathing, that's not, shchita doesn't have to be absolutely continuous. It just means you can't have a break. And a break has to have an objective shir zman. What's a break? Break doesn't change depending where you're up to. It's of how long is a break. He says 1 second left, then that's a break. I mean, a break is, you define a break objectively. So a break is a significant amount of time. What's a significant amount of time in the framework of Shchita? 10 seconds. The Shir Kadei Shchita. Right? Okay. The other way to look at it is, no, that's not the idea of Shia. But Shia is like this. I'll say the idea first, and then I'll explain what I mean. It's like the Gavra must maintain his involvement in Shchita for the whole Shchita. He can't remove himself, be mesulak from the Shchita. If he's mesalik from the Shchita, mesalik himself from the Shchita, then that's a proposal. Okay, so what do I mean by that? How do you mesalik yourself through a pause? That's what I mean by, it's like this, is like when you do an activity, so you're, so to speak, you're koveya yourself to be involved in that activity, right? So like if you, let's say you sit down to watch a movie. So you're saying the movie is 2 hours. So you're saying you're committing yourself for 2 hours, Right? That's in your mind. I'm talking in your mind. But it doesn't go by your das really, but I'm just going to talk about it that way. That's when you begin an activity, like a two-hour activity, so you're kavua for 2 hours. So if I take a half an hour break, well, anyway, in other words, that, you know, I'm related to the activity for 2 hours because that's what I know the activity takes 2 hours, and I'm involving myself in a two-hour activity. And if, on the other hand, I'm watching a movie and there's 5 minutes left, then my involvement in the movie now is for 5 minutes into the future. I'm not kavua now for 2 hours. And my involvement in the activity adjusts as per the amount of time that there's left for the activity. If there's 5 minutes left to the thing, like he'll say, let me go to the bathroom, I'm going to be 10 minutes. I say, what do you mean 10 minutes? There's only 5 minutes left of the movie. What are you doing? So in other words, your involvement in the activity is based upon how long you have left of the activity. So in other words, naturally, when there's 5 minutes left to that activity, so then you're involved, or you're kavua, in the activity for another 5 minutes. So now if I were to take a break for 3 minutes, so then, well, that 3 minute amount of time, I'm still involved in that, in my mindset, and I'm still kavua for the activity for that amount of time. So then as long as I pick it up before those 3 minutes elapse, so then I'm still related to my original activity which I was doing, because I'm within the time which I would have been doing that anyways. So that's not really a break. But if I have 5 minutes left of activity and I pause for 8 minutes or whatever, so now I've gone out of the amount of time which I would otherwise be involved in the activity. So then you have to say, like, I was misalik myself from the activity, I removed myself from the activity, and now it's like a new beginning. So that's a shia. So it means like the gavra can't remove himself from the active shias, or the gavra removes himself from the shchita through a hefsek, through a pause. And the amount of time which is significant to be the gavra is removed is based upon the amount of time which the gavra has left. As the gavra adjusts, you're always adjusting your framework about the nature of the time that your mind, that you're attached, that you're kavua in the activity, based upon the amount of time that you have left of the activity. I mean, as the activity starts getting towards the end, you start getting antsy, and you already have in your mind that I'm getting up in 2 minutes. So then a break for more than 2 minutes, it's like, oh, forget it, I'm already done. Remove yourself from the thing. So the amount of time, but if it's a din, that's looking at it as in the framework of the gavra removing himself from shechita. That's what Rav is saying, that's not the halacha. The halacha of shechia is a hefsek, creating a shir zman, creating a break in the activity. It's not a matter of the gavra moving himself, but it's a din that the shechita can't contain a hafsa, can't contain a break of his amount of time in the shechita. That's the problem. So if that's the problem, so then the shir zman has to be defined objectively. What's the shir zman? Is the shir zman 5 minutes? That's 5 minutes. That's the shir zman. It's 10 seconds. That's the shir zman. Shir zman has to be defined objectively. It can't be defined on a case-by-case basis. We're not up to him. Well, for now, we're just talking about one animal. I did 7 seconds of my shechita. I have 3 seconds left. Now I take a 5 second pause. If you say the idea is that gavra can remove himself from his involvement in the shechita, so once his pause is more than 3 seconds, that's it. He's removed from the activity. If it's an idea that you can't have an objective intermission, objective breaks, and the shear of a break is an objective shear, and that shear is 10 seconds, is the shear shechita. So therefore, that shear doesn't change as you move along. See, the gavra's mindset changes as he goes along. But an objective shear zman, if you tell me they can't interject with a hafsek, an objective entity called a break, so then that has to be fixed. What is defined as a break? Okay, but the gavra adjusts as he moves along. But that's if you're assuming you say shehiyah is a din and the gavra's involvement. You can't stop your involvement. You can't remove yourself. Then you go by how a person adjusts himself as the time elapses. Now, of course, it doesn't go by you ask the guy what's going on in his head. It becomes objectified. But is he going by the objective gavra? Objective gavra knows what he's doing in activity, so you're involved in it for that amount of time. It doesn't matter whether you know how long it's going to be left or whatever, but it's still going to be measured by the objective gavra, how long is there left. Now we get to the question Jay mentioned. This is a very funny gemara. Okay? So again, Rav says that the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says Kadesh Shechita, it means the amount of time from beginning to end. 10 seconds, not 4 seconds. Amar Rav, Kadesh Shechita Behema Ach. I'm sorry. Amri le Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav. So when Rav said this, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked him a question. K'dei shchidas behema l'behema v'of l'of? O dilma af behema l'of? Let me ask you.
Or why not of to behema?
Yeah, good question. Does it mean, again, let's say shchidas behema takes 10 seconds, and let's say shchidas of takes 5 seconds. So is it pshat that when you're doing of, shehiyah is 5 seconds, and when you're doing behema, shchidas 10 seconds? Or do you say that even when you're doing of, shehiyah is 10 seconds? Okay, look at Rashi. Magdisham, sorry, behema lof, of lof. K'dei shchidas behema acheres mesharen l'shias shchidas behema. K'dei shchidas of acher mesharen l'shias shchidas of. For each, respectively. Rodoma afilu b'k'dei shchidas behema mesharinan l'shias shchidas of. Dainu kula. So it means, it's a little counterintuitive what you'd think if you just read it. But it means if you're shechling an oaf, you're mekel, and you say that it's not a shehiyah unless you have a 10-second break. So that's their question to Rav. They're saying, Rav, let me ask you, you're saying it goes by the objective amount of time it takes to do shechita. Do you go animal per animal, oaf for oaf, behema for behema? Or do you say, no, everything has the longer amount of time? Well, even if you're doing an oaf, the sheer shehiyah is a sheer of 10 seconds. Okay? So it says, what did Rav answer? And this is the funny part. Amarlu, lo have badichna be bechabibi de eshile. What does that mean? So Rashi says, lo haisi daiti gasa bedodi ke de Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Chia was his uncle, was Rav's uncle. So it says, when I learned this halacha from Rabbi Chia, there's this halacha that the Shir Shia is an objective at the time, that Rav says, he says, I learned this from Rabbi Chia, my uncle. And at the time, when I learned this halacha, I didn't really have such a good relationship with him. I wasn't so comfortable with him. He didn't look at me very favorably. We didn't have like a good relationship, such that I could ask him that kind of question. Okay, Rav Barachuo Barachased Rav Chia. I think he was his nephew from both sides, from his father and from his mother, from whatever half. You know, you can look into how that is, but so it's a funny thing. He's saying, "Is good question, Rav Kana, Rav Asi, I hear your question, but I would have asked Rav Chia that question. I was kind of wondering that, but we didn't have such a good relationship at that point. I couldn't ask him that kind of question. It's kind of strange. Kind of the thing is that isn't any question fair game, or maybe not. What does he mean by that?
What do you mean?
Like, what's wrong with the question? Sounds like a fine question."
Oh, is he thought he meant in general. He didn't feel comfortable asking him.
No, asking this question. He said, "Dover Zah." I wasn't comfortable enough to ask him this question. I don't think it means he wouldn't ask any questions. He didn't ask questions. What did he socialize with his uncle? He can't ask questions. The thing he's saying is, I wasn't that close to him to ask him that question. What's wrong with that question? Seems like a fine question. He's not saying Rabbi Chia didn't like these kinds of questions. Because he's saying, if I had a better relationship with him, I'd be able to ask it. It's just we didn't have a good enough relationship that I would be able to pull it off. This is a question. This is important, but is there such a thing as a bad question?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Such a question.
And is that subjective?
No.
Like, what's wrong with, like, let's just take this type of question. The Rebbe says, the Shir or Shiyah, it's the time it takes to do Shchita. You say, Rabbi, let's say I'm shechting a bird. Is it bird for bird, behema for behema? Or is it bird for, are they the same? Like, what is a, in what way would you say that's a bad question? In what way would you say that's a good question? What does that depend on? It's true. You see, afterwards it says, Edmar amarav, b'tei shechitas behema l'behema v'of lof, u'shmol amar fil behema lof, v'chein ki yasa ravin amar b'yochon fil behema lof. Right, so this is a discussion. Machlokas, Rav Shmuel. I mean, it's a real question. It's not a fake question.
It's a question. It's like a detail.
Okay.
It's a detail in Sugya.
It's in the Brisa.
Detail enough for somebody to put it out there as a Mishnah is pretty.
Right, but what's wrong with the detail? So you ever have in Shir where someone asks a question, and I remember this happening in Rabbi Shir sometimes. But you can tell me if any of your experiences. I don't know, save the shilas for later.
Yeah.
We're not posking shilas now. Right? It's like, what are you... like, are you doing a sugya? And Mark, I think this is kind of partially what you're getting at. So you're doing a sugya. Is there's a difference between like curious picayune details, you know, how exactly you're gonna measure the time, and you know, the questions which are annoying. They're annoying. Like, we're trying to get the main ideas of the sugya. Now you want to know what happens if a bird under the meat, and you know how exactly you do it. I don't know. We'll work that out later. I'm not saying I'm never gonna answer those questions, but there's an idea of like, yeah, there's a seder of a dvarim of things to think about. And it's to get to like a practical nitty-gritty question is oftentimes a distraction from getting to the main ideas in the sugya, right? It's oftentimes a distraction. And what are you doing? What are you doing? And if someone asks a question, so oftentimes a question, it's like it's off the point. What are you doing? We're not dealing with those questions. We'll deal with those shilas later. If you have a shila, what are you doing? Do you have that shila? So ask me that shila, and you know, later. Now we're learning, right? But, and that's so far what you're saying. But, so what does that have anything to do with who he is and his relationship with him and whatever? So I want to say it's like this, is that sometimes the picayune questions are not just picayune questions, but they really open up the major idea of the sugya. See, sometimes you can construct, and this is why Gemaras often have picayune questions. Sometimes the right case, the right question, could help uncover the idea of a sugya. And a question about behemoth or behemoth, oaf or whatever, is not just because he's curious about how long, you know, how to do it and whatever. He's not just stop letting his mind wander and associate and think, oh, I wonder what would happen if I shachta a behemoth. It's not what he's doing. But he's thinking into the concept. And he's trying to conceptualize it. And he sees two ways of going. And he's not sure what the concept is. And, but what's the concept has to have a nafkamina. Like, what do you mean? Well, you just want to know theoretics? So, no, you come up with a nafkamina, which will help you clarify what's the real idea. Is the idea X, in which case shchita for behemoth will be like this and oaf will be different? Or is the idea Y, in which case behemoth and oaf will be the same? So it's like, it's not so much worried about the shaila, about I have an oaf and I want to shecht it, and what should I do, Rabbi Chia? Rabbi Chia said, I don't know, ask me later. That's a question, that's a distraction from the shir. And Rav knew, and there's such a thing. But rather, the question is a real question. As you see, Rav and Shmuel are really trying to figure out the concept, and it makes a difference. And it does make a difference. But the thing is like this, is that you can't always tell on the surface whether a certain question is just curiosity and is like a, not an essential point but a detail, or if it's a major fundamental question which gets to the core of the sugya. It's not always clear immediately what type of question a given question is. And something could look like a detail, but it could really cut to the core of the sugya. Okay? Now when a Rav is giving a shir, so he has to field the questions. And there are people who ask good questions, and there are people who ask bad questions. And there are questions which distract the shir from getting to the underlying ideas, and then there are questions which help uncover the main ideas in the sugya. And the Rav he can't just field every single question that everybody asks and entertain them and start working through every single one. It's going to take away from the shir. So he has to kind of pick the topics and the questions which he thinks are germane to the sugya, to uncovering the sugya. Now, but sometimes he can't tell. So how does he decide when he hears a question whether he should answer it or not? Okay, so one way is you tell who's asking the question. You just have a guy who's not experienced, like a beginner, who asks a question, and it sounds like a detail, and it sounds like just an associative question, the guy just randomly associates something, and he's just asking, the first thing pops into his mind. And it sounds that way, and you think you don't have any knowledge that the guy's a lambda and really asks good questions, so then you're just going to assume that it is what it seems like. It's just a detail, and I'm not going to answer that question now. I'm busy doing this year now. We'll ask those shilas later. But if someone has cred, if someone's built up a reputation for being a real deep thinker, then the Rav knows that when he's asking the question, he's not just stom letting his mind wander. He knows the difference between a good question and a bad question. And he understands the idea that a shear doesn't, you don't just ask anything in a shear, it distracts the shear. He understands that. And if he's asking the question, it must be it's because he's probing in on the concept. So if Rav already was at a point where he was sufficiently had a relationship with Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Chiya knew his mind, then he would have trusted him. And he would have knew that the question which he's asking, although it may sound like a detail, is really a deep question. And he's probing what's the real Svara in the Sugya. And then he would give it time. But Rav knew that he wasn't yet in a position to ask that question. And he knew that if he asked that question, he would have gotten blasted. It wouldn't have been answered. So he wasn't... You have to first build up your reputation with the Rav for him to be able to give you the time. Presumably, yes, like Marky said, there are a lot of people in the shiur. You can't just... Rav doesn't have the Rechi, doesn't have time to deal with every single question every guy asks and whatever. But he does have the time to deal with good questions. But how are you supposed to know if a question... Certain questions are obviously good questions. Other questions are just not clear, and the Rav has to use his intuition to know whether pursuing this will be good or not. And something which he uses is his intuition about the mind of the Talmud who's asking the question. If someone's asking, if he knows the guy is a sharp guy, he knows the guy's not just asking a stupid question. It must be the guy really thought it through fully. Before Rav asks the question, he thinks it through. He doesn't just ask the first thing that comes into his mind. So if Rav is asking a question, Rabbi Chiya would have known, had he already known who Rav was, he would have known that this is a deep question. It's not just a bad question. But at the time where he thought Rav, where he only knew Rav on the surface, if Rav would have asked it, Rabbi Chiya would have just thought, he's just saying, asking the first thing comes to his mind, it's not deep, whatever. They ask me later. We'll deal with it later. I'm not on time for that. You know? Okay. The thing is, Rav knew that it wouldn't be rational for Rabbi Chiya to answer that question. He knew how Rabbi Chiya ran his shiur. He knew that Rabbi Chiya has to differentiate and answer questions which are relevant. He knew that Rabbi Chiya couldn't possibly see why it's a good question on the surface. And he knew Rabbi Chiya, if he was a good rabbi, he would dismiss it. So what's the point of asking it? So he knew he had to wait till later and whatever. When he got older, then he argued with Rav about it. He didn't ask Rabbi Chiya, he had to argue with Rav. Apparently, I guess Rabbi Chiya wasn't around anymore. So he had to work it out on his own. Because I guess at the time where the question, whatever, he wasn't around.
You're basically saying...
Well, they asked...
Get across by saying...
Well, I think, first of all, there's an idea to be learned from this. There's an idea to be learned from this. Just this whole thing is interesting.
This is where he decides that you should learn this.
Well, no, I mean, they asked... He's saying is that this is what it means. Kadesh Chida means this. Now, Rav Kahana Rav Asi asked him, well, what about this case? So now he's saying, honestly, I don't really know. I was wondering about the same thing.
And you have Rav and Shmuel afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know when that happened. I mean, it could be then afterwards, maybe Rav, this is a different story, Itmar. It's like a new statement. So it could be at the time, he didn't really know the answer. But then maybe later, he ended up taking up the question, and he thought about it, and he had a machlokas. But I mean, they're both true points. I mean, there is an idea of true point anyways. You could say, listen, from the time when I heard it from Rabbi Chiya, I'm telling you what I heard from Rabbi Chiya, he's the one who told me it's halacha. And I'm quoting the halacha in his name. I'm telling you this is his halacha. Now you want to know a detailed question? I can't tell you what Rechia said. Doesn't mean I don't have an opinion, but there is such a thing as saying something is truly representing, you know, what Rechia's opinion was. One second. It's interesting he doesn't quote the name of Rabbi Chiya. It's just Ma'ik Kedesh Chida Amarav Kedesh Chida Tzbeim Acheres.
Well, I think it still doesn't even sound like a technical question, because if you're trying to define Shehiyah, can you define Shehiyah by saying it's a time period? Well, it doesn't define Shehiyah as anything.
Well, sort of. I mean, if I had to ask you, for instance, is when a guy is doing the time that it takes to do Shechita, do you mean where he's doing Shechita like quickly, or if he's doing Shechita like slowly, or if he's doing Shechita like medium speed? You know? Let's say a guy would ask you that question. Right? So it's, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how exactly. It's true. It's about the time. And practically, if I want to paskin a shayla, I guess we're going to have to decide that. But that's just a general question. I don't know. I'll have to figure out whether we go and buy these things by a general person or whatever, whatever. It's not going to affect what the concept is. It's just a matter of practically how you're going to work it out. So, you know, how long it takes to do it with a very sharp knife, a medium sharp knife, or a blunt knife. So say, I don't know. They're questions, and they're fair questions to ask a shayla, but asking shaylas isn't the same thing as learning a sugya. So there's an idea, that's what Rabbi says, is, I don't know, you save your shaylas for later. It's not going to help with under get the main ideas of shahiya. Let's say the answer is we always go by normal, by medium size. So it's like, it's the same, whatever. Or you always go by fast, or you'll just, oh, that's not going to affect the main ideas of the sugya of shahiya. So yes, it's an interesting question. But, I mean, this is our challenge for next week, is to get down to what is the idea. What is the idea? But on the surface, it sounds like that kind of a thing. Is the shear isn't a semen time? Well, for a bird or for a chicken? Well, I don't know. Whatever. We'll figure that out later. But he's saying, no, it's a real question. It's not just a detail. It's not just a technical question.